Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Julie. Welcome to Hey, Julie. Hey, Jeff, a podcast about Spicy Jeff.
Spicy Jeff. That was the name of the episode.
Oh, I know. I pulled it up on YouTube TV, loaded it up this morning, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm busy. Got things going on.
Fresh in your mind then.
Gotta pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Episode title, Spicy Jeff. I knew we were in for a good episode. And gosh darn it, Danielle, 2 weeks in a row. Is this season of Survivor good?
I love it. And the chatter online is that people hate it. They think it sucks and everyone's annoying. I'm like, you know what? You know what they should, everyone should try doing? Putting their phone in a different room while they watch. Yeah. And then maybe they'll enjoy it like me.
Yeah, I bet people are looking at their phones.
I'm sure they are. To be fair, in our Discord, there was a message that was like, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting who sent it, but it was like, wait a minute, is this season of Survivor good? And the answer is yes, it is good. You know why? Because everything's coming up Danny. All the people who I don't like are getting out of here, like Hunter. Hunter had another moment in this episode where he was like talking to Venus and I felt a disrespectful manner. And I was like, this guy's got to freaking go. And when it looked like there was a chance, I was honestly on the edge of my seat. I was so excited because between him, the villain, and Q, the hero, I needed Hunter to go.
There was a point, I hope this is the point in the episode. Hunter goes to Venus when it's like where things are going crazy at camp right before they go to tribal. And he goes, listen, I have an idol. You look like you're unimpressed. And she's like, I'm not. I don't care.
Yeah. It was that there was that moment. But then there was another moment where they were talking, like Q was like, Venus, you're unkillable. I don't know. And she was talking, Venus was talking with Q and Hunter. And Hunter was just very disrespectful to her again.
You're unkillable, V. And then she says in her confessional, these buffoons, these dumb meatheads. She's like, I want Hunter out. And it's like, good. Yeah. Hunter's going to win the game. My brain was exploding for 7 minutes of this episode where I'm like, wait, so you guys aren't going to vote out Hunter? Like, and when they broke down into the three groups and there was the Hunter, Charlie, Maria group. I'm like, God. And
he was like, my heart sank.
You need to throw this competition so this group doesn't get to the elimination because Hunter's going to win immunity. And then they easily won both the first stages of it. I'm like, great. Honestly, like I don't totally mean this because I think individually everyone's fine, but like possibly the three least rootable for characters at this point, not because they're bad, not because we don't love Maria and her story. I mean, Charlie seems like a nice guy.
Charlie's growing on me.
It was like this episode listened to this new Schmaler Schmift album that people don't like because there was nary a reference to her this week.
Oh yeah. And
Hunter, who seems like a good guy, but like I just don't want to see this guy like steamroll through this game of Survivor or whatever. So I'm like, great, the three I want to root for, you and I obviously we like want rooting for chaos here. So yeah. I think everyone else is like a chaos choice and these three people are like the least chaos choices. That's why I find them the least rootable.
Well, when it was like Hunter versus Charlie, obviously I was like, please God, Charlie win.
Yeah.
Please God. So that was a great thing for me in this episode. Also, again, another kind of like balancey endurance challenge that I would have won. Those little feet, their little feet. So, and then they had to, I mean, I did think it was kind of unfair the way they had to stand, but whatever. Also, wait.
It's Survivor.
We have to back up a little bit.
Like on a couch and like eating num nums.
Yeah, exactly. Num nums. The title of this episode was Spicy Jeff. So I was expecting a really hot tamale Jeff this episode. The Spicy Jeff of the episode was basically him telling Venus's trio, like, you guys suck. I don't think you're going to win. And then, like, sitting on a cushion. There was not that much spicy Jeff. It was not that spicy.
Oh, and bringing
spice
out
level
his
pop. Zero. Yeah. And
yeah.
His thimble of, that was the smallest bowl of popcorn. And then they all shared it. I was like, just give it to the girl who's starving. What's her name? Kim?
Liz.
Liz. Matt May in the chat says, we need to see Dani on a balance beam if she keeps making these claims. I will gladly show you. I have the most incredible balance. I will gladly show.
Gladly. If our podcast were more popular and these were like our jobs, not our actual jobs, I think there would be a reason to, like, maybe in the middle of the summer or the winter, stage a competitions.
Yeah.
We call up Hunter. He's available.
Oh my gosh,
and he's built everything in his disgusting little house. We actually do Big Brother and Survivor competitions so we can see how we would do. I think that would actually be good. It's like, maybe you get us, Pod Has a Robcast, get us to do it. I guess Pod Has a Robcast was literally on Survivor, but like,
right.
Maybe not them. I don't want to give them.
Yeah, but we could, but we like, could just, I mean, I could just go it. Stand on a log. I promise you guys, I could do it 1 foot on a log for 2 hours. I mean, in a river. I could do it.
What about if your phone was in a different room?
Oh my gosh, then like all day, 17 3 hours.
Okay, yeah.
But so I just was a little disappointed with the amount of spice that Jeff had. Sorry.
It was when you go to, you know, an exotic restaurant and you're like, I want it spicy. And they're like, look at her.
Yeah. Look at me. I know.
She's from Toronto. Yes. Let's give her a very mild amount of spicy.
Yeah. We'll put a little dash of ground pepper.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't that spicy.
It was just disappointing when the title of the episode is Spicy Jeff. Anyway, that was the only disappointing thing.
That was maybe a statement about how little else happened in this episode. Nobody else had any good quotes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, in the chat, it should have been, what about Spicy Marco? That's Spicy Marco stolen valor, by the way. Frequent Hey Julie benefactor, Spicy Marco. They named the episode Spicy Jeff after him. anyway, wait, I did want to ask about the popcorn too. The teeny little bowl of popcorn.
Mm.
What would you have done? What would you have done? Would you not have just given it to Liz?
I was thinking that too. I was like, just give it to her.
It's so
like,
small.
It's popcorn. It's like a calorie.
Yeah,
like,
it's not.
It's like it's healthy, as we all know. Popcorn incredibly healthy to fill up.
It is healthy, and this
Danielle
does,
and I, Danielle, going to see a movie later tonight.
I was
Danielle
just going
to
say,
inspired me to buy tickets to a movie like literally 4 seconds before we started the podcast. In my heart, I would have just nommed on the whole thing. I would have just gone like, and just
Homer Simpson esque.
Yeah, literally open up a pelican gullet and just been like, oh, well. I would have had the, you know, agreed upon 2 kernels and moved on, because you don't want to be the person who's voted out because Brett just ate a full bowl of popcorn and he didn't give any to anyone. Like, that's the everyone was just.
I know, that's why they weren't doing it. But I don't know. When you go to the movies, do you get popcorn?
No, I don't get anything.
Yeah, because you go so much.
I go a lot. I have a small bladder too, so I don't drink anything.
I occasionally will indulge in some movie theater popcorn, but you know what I have a big problem with? People who put the melted butter, they pump that melted butter out onto the popcorn from the huge nozzle. Why do you want to eat soaking wet popcorn?
I never get. Like, listen, is it better? Is it better with butter? Yeah.
No.
But not that much to have like greasy wet hands. It looks like it's fucking gasoline.
Yeah.
It's like you went to a gas station, you're just pouring gasoline out of a nozzle onto your food.
Yeah.
Popcorn is quite delicious with the tons of salt that comes on it.
Yeah.
I do quite often visit the Alamo Draft House here in downtown Los Angeles, which has a full menu. So
that is preferable.
If I am there and it lines up, maybe I'll treat myself to mozzarella sticks,
a quesadilla,
a hamburger, a little personal pizza. Mm-hmm. But even then, not mostly. I don't like they do this whole thing. A waiter comes by, is like, "Can I get your credit card?"
It's my favorite.
I promise you, I'm not getting anything.
I remember, I have such fond memories when I lived near the Brooklyn Alamo of going to like a matinee on a Saturday or Sunday, and I would get a Michelada and enjoy my film and a, you know, a meal, whatever, fries, and then coming home and taking a luxurious nap because, you know, why not? Yeah. You got the buzz from the Michelada and the salty fries. What a great way to spend an afternoon.
You'll find me in the matinee, the dark of the matinee.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it. I loved it. I still do love a matinee. I mean, there's something
I love
to
going
it.
On. I love what I, you know, when I freelanced many years ago, like certain days, weeks, just not doing much. I love like a Wednesday afternoon in LA. You go to the movies at like 2 p.m. and it's surprisingly packed. And you're like,
well, you're kind of in a place,
How do all of us not have jobs right now?
Yeah, exactly. But
it's LA. It's LA. It was like, well, lots of us don't have jobs.
You got to expect that a little bit. Yeah. Some other things I wanted to talk about. Someone brought up Ben. Maddie in the chat brought up Ben, who is named Mr. Vest, but his real name is Ben. I just want to say, so Charlie is gaining ground with me. Ben is also, I'm really coming around on Ben. I'm actually like, I love him. He's kind of funny. When he does talk, he either says like, that rocks or that does not rock. And those are his tag phrases. And I love it.
It's, everything is on
it's very dudes rock.
Dudes rock. Yeah, dudes naming guys. Is it rock? It's like, hey, gotta pair up in groups of three. Do you want to rock?
Yeah. I don't remember him. I mean, there's no point in any of the challenges where he stands out to me in any way. And mostly not at camp either, but then at tribal, he'll either be like, wow, this rocks, or this is Jeff, that did not rock. And that's when I noticed
the tribe has spoken. Oh, that did not rock.
Yeah, I love it.
Ben at final three. Jury of my peers, I ask you not to vote for who is the best at Survivor, but who rocked the most at Survivor, which if anything, I would actually say Q probably rocked.
Oh my gosh, Q rocks my socks every week. Everything gets better and better.
I was a little bit nervous for my man today.
I was too, because they were making it too much like it was Hunter going home. And I was just like, I mean, that would have turned the season for me if Q went home before Hunter.
Well, I thought it was. I actually thought it was going to be Ben. I was like, oh, actually, it is going to be Ben here, because I was like, oh, my gosh, are we going to get two idols played tonight? I thought absolutely both idols were being played tonight and that. There was going to be going into that. I thought absolutely someone weird is going to go home tonight because Tiffany and Hunter are not going home.
Yeah.
And they're going to both play their idols and it's going to be like three or four votes on one, three or four votes on the other. And literally Hunter is going to just like vote for whoever is going home. And that one person is going to go home with like one or two votes cast against them. I thought we were all lining up for that. So they're reading off the votes. And I literally screamed like I was watching a football game in my house. Because Hunter Q, four votes for each, one vote left. Jeff opens it up. Ben. And I'm like, oh, shit. I woke up my neighbors. I just did it again. That was wild. And do you know who cast that vote for Ben?
Who?
Q, I guess, could have just easily made it. He could have made it easier by just voting for Hunter and not having to do the revote.
Q is like Loki. He's the god of mischief. He just, no matter what he does, I never know what's going to... Well, I'm kind of catching on to his game at this point, which is, you called it last week when he did the hide and seek. And like, it was like, no matter what anyone did, that was a reason to get them out. It's sort of the same. And Venus does the same thing too. Venus is like, it's all going according to my plan. No matter what happens, no matter how confused she is, she's like, yes, exactly. I wanted Hunter to go home and now he's going home. Meanwhile, telling Hunter to his face, I'm telling you, all day I've been telling you, it's Q. I just love it. I love that these people, like, they're making up... I would not like the, I don't like these types of people in real life who like make up their own realities and make up their own narratives that have no bearing on actual events. But watching it on a TV show, very fun. Very fun.
Oh, yeah. No, if you have like a coworker or a friend who's that, you're just like, this is horrible.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. It's rough. It's like, okay, no, I don't think.
That's not how that happened. That,
Yeah. I don't think someone turned off their camera in a meeting to like personally attack you. I think they just needed to go to the bathroom. Or something like that. It's like,
yes.
There was a moment too, Q said in the episode, it was a mistake offering myself up last night, but then it was a mistake for them not to vote me out. So now I'm targeting everybody.
He's back, baby. He's
so
back.
Q was so back, too. There was a moment early in the episode, Q and Hunter were talking about, I mean, the much of the episode, the first half of the episode was just like, you know, legislating or decompressing after what happened on the Q tribal from two episodes ago. And everyone keeps saying, which is honest, I just need to play my own game here. Like, we can't be playing Q's game. And Hunter says to Q, he's like, I got to play my own game. You have to respect that, right? Long pause. Q is like, I can tell you're lying. For, like, at a a most basic statement that, like, everyone here is there to play their own game. And Q doesn't believe that, which is why we love Q. He doesn't believe that anyone should be playing their own game other than him, which
IRL. To him. Yeah.
Yeah. IRL, not great quality in a person on TV. Oh.
Doesn't get better. It just doesn't
camera
get better.
Loves you. The camera loves you, baby.
It doesn't ever. I want to go on the record. I am a little confused. I am confused how tribal. This was again a very chaotic, messy tribal. Like, Jeff brought his cushion, he had the popcorn, and it ended up being a correct thing to do because it went into a tiebreaker, and then Q and Hunter couldn't vote, so they had to vote again, and then it was like clearly Hunter went home. But I was like, wait, so how did they decide? Were they all in cahoots the whole time? I actually had no clue how this went down.
Okay, so I have the votes in front of me. Okay. The first vote. Votes for Hunter, Ben, Charlie, Maria, and Venus vote for Hunter. Wow. Kenzie, Liz. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Ben, Charlie, Maria, and Tiffany vote for Hunter. Venus, Hunter, Liz, and Kenzie vote for Q. Q could have just voted for Hunter.
Right,
he voted for Ben instead, forcing the vote, but also giving us more television.
But was that purpose? Do you think he did that on purpose?
No, because there was that little conversation between Q and Hunter beforehand where Hunter says, I'm playing my idol tonight. I'm not going home.
Right.
And I think Tiffany's probably playing her idol too. We need to vote someone else out because honestly, neither of us are going home and there's no reason to vote for me. There's no reason to vote for Tiffany now either. So, and it was, I think, Hunter who suggested Ben. So Q was like, I guess going along with that. Q once again makes tribal all about himself.
So good.
Q is so funny too because remember 6 weeks ago? No, I know the answer is no, but I'll let you know. There was a young man on this show whose name was Banu.
Oh.
And remember how every tribal council was Banu just like saying the most honest things possible to a point where it's like, dude, you can have like, you don't have to tell us everything in your head, bro. And after every tribal, Q would come back to camp and be like, Banu, you know, you just don't have to say anything, right? You can just say like, I love my tribe mates. We're strong.
Yeah.
You can say white lies. Like, you don't have to say anything. And now Q has turned into Banu. He just says wild stuff, honest stuff that makes everyone want to vote him out. And so I think that's what happened. So anyways, we come back in the second vote, and this one, the blood is in the water with Hunter. I feel that pretty much everyone was like, oh, it's only two people to vote out. and one of them's Hunter. Hunter. So it was 6-1. You know, they made it look like it was a little bit closer just because they read off the Q vote first.
Right.
But it was, yeah, it was 6-1 to Hunter. Obviously, Hunter was, No, Hunter and Q don't vote in that one.
They don't vote.
So it was Liz who voted for Q. Liz is going to be on the bottom here.
Philip G in the chat says Liz equals Elsbeth, which, spoiler alert, what we're going to be talking about for the second half of this podcast. But I think Liz wishes. Are you kidding me? No, Liz is not Elsbeth. Liz is her own. Liz was mad this episode. She cried.
Can I say something? Can I say something about Liz?
Yeah.
In the first thing in the cold open, Liz is like crying. She's like, the Tevin move was my move. It got overshadowed by Q doing this big chaotic thing. Now, the Tevin move is not really attributed to anybody because everyone thinks that the Tevin move was like a result of chaos caused by Q, not by anyone strategizing. I feel it was myself. Liz says, I will not get lost in this game. I need to do this for my daughter.
What?
Where's the daughter from?
I don't know.
Liz has a daughter?
Yeah, Liz has a daughter.
Liz for weeks has been like, I'm divorced and unlovable.
And I'm starving. Single. Yeah. And I'm hungry.
And I'm allergic to calories.
And I sold my company for millions of dollars. Was that her or Mariah?
That was her. Well, this is my follow-up question.
Okay.
Liz has a daughter. Is the daughter Mariah?
Oh, there we go. That's a good question. I wanted, when you were talking about like a player from several weeks ago, I said to my husband and I were like, you know, the only thing that would have made this episode better was if Jelinski came back.
Jelinski, the boss. Yeah, this is the twist. Jelinski came back and he automatically has like 4 votes to win, and like, oh my anyone God. He just needs one person to vote for him and he wins. And it's like metal. It's like Mecha Godzilla comes in.
I do want to ask your thoughts, going back again to the title of the episode, Spicy Jeff. Jeff became a hater in this episode when he told Venus's trio, like, you guys suck and I don't think you're going to do well, basically. Mm. What do we think about Jeff being an IRL troll to the contestants' faces?
I
wasn't sure if I liked it. I was like, what was the point?
I thought the lead up to the competition was great because it was like a mini tribal. Because usually it's just like, people are like, I'm excited to do it. I'm very tired emotionally and physically. And that's kind of it. This one was like, Jeff was being mean to people. Tiffany was like being mean to Q. Like they were just like airing out tribal stuff from the night before. In the let's pick teams portion of the competition, I thought that was great. I thought that was a welcome change. I thought they should have moments like that more.
Yeah, I guess so. I just thought that he was really like, I felt really bad for Venus's team that he would say that to them like right before they're about to start. And I just thought, like, what was the point of him being such a hater? He was a hater. He was a troll.
So?
If Venus's team has one hater, it's Jeff. If they don't, he's dead. You know, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that.
Well, there's lovers of the team at home, because if Venus is on the team, then we love it.
That's true. That's true for me, for sure. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, what else? This episode was so satisfying. It was so chaotic, but I'm struggling to think of like other little one-off things from the episode to discuss. Overall, it was a very pleasant, I found it a very satisfying episode of TV. And like I said, someone in the chat mentioned that they think Charlie's getting the winner edit. I can see that happening big time.
I see that as definitely happening. I mean, I also like the final portion of this competition is not without its own symbolism. It's a bit, shall we say, religious.
Oh,
you know,
the balls.
Standing on a cross.
Oh, the balancing. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, like, I think him literally like on a cross and like wincing and like, and just like, you gotta dig, you gotta dig. It makes him look like when you win that, you look, even to a atheist Jew like myself, you win, you look at that and you're like, he's heroic. He's sacrificing himself. So we'll see next week. Like Charlie could be like number one guy to vote. Like Hunter's gone. So now it's like,
who's the comp beast? Yeah.
Who's the comp beast here? So like things reset a little bit. Like Q's always going to have a target on his back, but because he has, like we saw that this episode, Q and Hunter are vulnerable. And the first thing everyone says is Q and Hunter are vulnerable. I wonder if we shouldn't vote for either of them. Like that was literally the first thought anyone has. So even when you have a target on your back, everyone wants to do something that is different than the obvious move. So even having a target on your back makes you not have a target on your back.
Yeah, it's so funny because there are a lot of obvious people to get out. Get out Q. I have a new submission for a Bready All-Star, Tiffany. Tiff is a Bready All-Star, in my opinion.
She's definitely playing a lot.
Oh, you think? I mean, I'm sure she is playing a lot, but she's also like, she keeps sneaking in. Like, she's one of those people who every episode I'm like, oh yeah, Tiffany. Tiffany is still here and she has an idol still. And there was like the chatter about perhaps getting her out this episode. But I mean, she's just such a small fish to fry compared to like Hunter, Q, Charlie, Venus. Even though Venus is like, well, actually she's pretty good at comps, but she's, you know, got a deranged social game. So she's like higher on the totem pole of getting out. I don't know. I think she's like squarely falling under the radar. It's like her, Ben, what's her name? Maria? Maria?
Yeah, Maria is not doing anything. Yeah.
Like those are the Bready All-Stars. I also want to read Philip G in the chat says Hunter should have climbed up in a tree and hid during tribal. Hunter had to make like a tree and get out of here.
And leave. Okay.
Wow. Jeff has always been a hater, mean dad vibes. Also, like there was the in between show, like interstitial of Jeff in the woods being like, have you ever wanted to tell your mom to come on Survivor? Tell your mom to come on Survivor now. It was like the best.
Jeff is always on one, so.
I guess he always has us talking about him, so he's still got the it factor. Anything else to say about Survivor?
Kenzie she said about, I guess, who did she vote for? I'll have to figure this out. Kenzie voted out Q.
Yeah, she hates Q.
She said, go eat some tater tots. Have fun eating tater tots. Bye. That's a good one.
I mean, she said to Q's face, she was like, I don't want to work with you. I mean, she was very upfront. She's not. But I did notice she said, I'm not working with you today. Because she knows tomorrow is a whole new ball game. Who knows? Who knows?
Got some Q's, though, in the Discord. Spicy Marco, the benefactor, Spicy Marco, Spicy Jeff. My question is, Venus, Banu, Q, who would make it further in the Big Brother house?
Whoa, Venus, Banu, or Q? Whoa.
Venus.
Yeah. Banu and Q both have like furs written all over them. Unfortunately. Both of them Q, in very different ways.
Q is both too chaotic. I could see Q also going like, it's obviously Venus or Q. Banu, like, no. The Banu, the answer for Banu, like the one path for him, Doctor Strange holding up the one, is everyone recognizes he's a dummy. And it's like, well, I'm going to take him to the end. He's a goat, but he's so untrustworthy of a goat because he just spills. He just says everything to everyone, whoever's on his mind at all times. So probably not him. Q is both chaotic and untrustworthy and like good at competitions. Like, I could see Q actually right. being good at Big Brother competitions. Oh,
for sure, for sure.
Venus, just laying back and being mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put her, so honestly, like, Allison Grodner, text Venus now.
It'd be
like,
magic.
Why isn't Venus on BB26?
Because she's not? Making jury, for sure. I think she's making jury. She's one of those, like, beautiful girls who just, like, makes jury. And you're like, oh, she's cute. I don't think she doesn't do much. Yeah. She leans back, you know?
It ain't hard to look beautiful in Studio City. Ugh. Wearing a bikini, hanging that's out in the backyard, yeah. sunbathing.
Couldn't tell you, but that's what I hear. Great.
I'd love for Venus to be mean to me.
There was another question. Who's your guys' winner pick now, and who's going home next? My winner pick, Jelinski. My winner pick is, I think, Kenzie. That's what Spicy Marco said in the chat. They think Kenzie's going to win. But who's going home next? It's got to be someone boring. I think we're going to lose someone. I think we're going to lose Ben. Because we've been losing, like, interesting people. Tevin and Soda and Hunter. Yeah. So I think we're due to lose someone boring.
Just to be different, I really agree with what you're saying. Just to be different and say two different names, I'm going to say Charlie Wynn. I'm going to say Maria go home.
Yeah, Maria would also be, like, a boring person to go home too, though. Like, I think she's good. No hate. No hate, no shade. But she's, like, dramatic. Yeah.
Philip G in the chat says Liz is going to win. I can see her getting to the end. I have a hard time seeing her, like, rallying votes around her.
I do too, but that's why I kind of would love it. I think it'd be great if she won.
It would be interesting for sure. It would be good for sure. It'd be
fascinating.
Who is she going to get? Okay, there's 8 people left.
What if it's her, Q? Someone's so controversial. Her, Q, and Venus.
I would vote for Q and Venus over Liz.
But we love them. The team hates
Venus
them.
Venus just says, everyone hated me the entire time and was trying to vote me out the entire time. Venus actually does have, like, vote outs on her resume. She's going to say, oh, the Tevin thing was me. The Soda thing was me. Regardless of whether or not they were, everyone else who's, like, can claim that is going to be sitting on a fucking bench having freshly showered and eaten. So, what are you going to do? Like, and even Q is going to say, Q's going to have this whole sob story. I came from behind. I was always on the outs. I was almost left the game a number of times, but I stuck through it. Like, Liz, I know she's maybe, if she puts on that business owner hat, if she turns into CEO, then
marketing maybe, manager.
I don't know, but like, From a personality standpoint, I have a hard time seeing Liz. Like, you have to become a lawyer in that moment. Like, you have to, like, for 45 minutes, turn into a lawyer and be like, actually, I disagree. I object, Your Honor, and present why you should win. Like, Liz is going to cry and, like, be like, I think I did some things, but, like, no one noticed them.
Yeah, something we're all... We're all excited for Scarkle in the chat. I'm excited to see Liz's meltdown next week that they previewed. Agreed. I'm excited to see any meltdown. Any meltdown. Sign me up. I'm ready. Should we talk about other stuff?
Yeah. Let's talk about some other stuff. Danielle, you have been excited to talk about a subject. We talked about it.
Well, something I promised on the podcast last week. I promise, I put my name on the line by promising. I said, I'm going to watch Elsbeth and I'm going to report back to the podcast. So this week I watched not one, but 2 episodes of Elsbeth. And I just need to, like, give everyone the boots on the ground reporting of Elsbeth. So the background is, Elsbeth is a character from The Good Wife, which is a show that is amazing. Okay, like, the Good Wife is a great network TV show.
The Good Wife is a show that's amazing.
Yes. The Good Wife is an excellent show that ran forever. And honestly, having watched every season and every episode of The Good Wife, I feel like I basically graduated law school. Like, I think I could be an incredible lawyer just because I watched that show. Then they made the show The Good Fight, which was on CBS All Access, like Paramount Plus, nay, CBS All Access. Also a great show. So fucking good. They also did a show called Evil, which my husband and I love. It's so good. It's like people investigating these evil things happening, but is it actually like spooky ghosts or is it? Yes.
Is Evil in the Good Wife universe?
No, it's completely different universe. Different universe.
Oh, is Elizabeth in it?
No, she's not in it. But so now they have Evil? Pardon?
Why is Evil in this conversation?
Because it's the same creators. It's the Kings, okay? Oh, their name is Robert and Michelle King. They're a couple who make all these shows. So they're a hit factory is what I'm saying. Yeah. So now CBS is like, we need a new show, Robert and Michelle. Can you guys write us like and bring back a character everyone loves? So they say, great. We're going to give you Elsbeth, who is a beloved character from the Good Wife universe, and we'll do her own show where she moves to New York for some reason, even though she's a Chicago-based lawyer. and we'll have her hook up with a cop and investigate crimes.
Sure.
These two, so I think that Robert and Michelle King are just so tired from writing the best seasons and episodes of TV because Elsbeth, I say this as a fan, I love them, is a crazy way to write a TV show. Basically, what happens in any show about solving crime? Any show. There is a crime, but we don't know how it happened. We don't know who did it, right? And the fun of the episode is finding out, perhaps with a twist or two along the way, right?
Yeah.
So I had to watch two episodes of Elsbeth to confirm this is the strategy they went with. In Elsbeth, they do things a little differently. The first scene of the show.
Elsbeth's a little different.
Yeah, exactly. The first scene of the show, they show the crime. They show it exactly happening. They show the killer. They show them doing the crime. And then the rest of the episode, you're just like, oh, I know who did it. I know how it was done. And you just have to watch Elsbeth like put it together. But it's like, it's like there's no suspense whatsoever. They start both episodes was like, here it is. Like, this is what happened. And then people don't even like, you'd think the fun then is the fact that like, oh, Elsbeth is such a kook. How's she going to get people to trust her, believe her? No, people are like, oh yeah, good idea, Elsbeth. Run with that. Like, it's not, I'm just like, how is this a show? How could they do this?
No one's like, why should we listen to you, Elsbeth? You're a freak.
I mean, occasionally they're like, wow, she's a little kooky in her methods. It is not Columbo energy. No, it's not, Scarkle. Columbo is like, wait a minute. Like, here's a little twisty twist. Yeah, she doesn't do that. She just immediately is like, hey, I don't like the way he said that tennis racket. I think he killed him. And then, yeah, she's right. So I prepared a bit for this episode of the podcast, which is I would like to read off. So also the writers of Elsbeth are clearly boomers, right? And they're writing for a boomer audience. So there's like a Gen Z character in one of the episodes that I watched. I went back and I wrote down every single one of her lines. And I'd like to give you a reading of like these real lines that were in a TV show that a real actress had to deliver. Let me give you the basic plot of the episode. The basic plot is a tennis instructor kills he's the father of the tennis player, and he kills his son's biggest opponent, who's like a Roger Federer-esque. He kills him with a towel, okay?
Challengers.
Yes. See it in theaters this week. So that's the basic plot. We know this from the very beginning that he did it. We know how he did it. Anyway, there's a Gen Z, like, ball girl who gets involved for some reason.
How do we know she's Gen Z?
Let me give you the reading. Here's her very first line.
Wacky eyeshadow on.
Well, she's young looking. And here's her first line. I saw what you did with that towel. I thought you were just trying to mess with the dude, but then you low-key unalived him.
That's how we know.
Wait, I wrote down every single one of her lines, okay? I scrubbed through to do this. Okay, so here's some more. Same scene. I saved the towel. Receipts, bruh. I could go to the police, or we could low-key collab. And then, so then the coach is like, the killer, he's like, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be following me around. She says, coaches shouldn't be murdering other players. So I guess we're all acting a little sus. Okay. Then he compliments, for some reason, there's a lot of very random writing in this, in Elsbeth, where you're like, why is he suddenly talking about his cousin? But anyway, he compliments her shoes. She goes, thanks. I'm kind of entering my rich era. Then talking to the cops, she goes, hey, can I vape in here? And she tells the cops, your math is not mathing. I just needed, oh, and then she does have, she does say later boomer to the coach at one point. Oh, I just needed to give, to let you guys know, like, the type of writing to expect from Elsbeth. They loved writing this character. I can see them just giggling, like, yeah, have her say later boomer. I loved it. I loved it. Is it a good show? No. Will I keep watching? No. But I wanted to give you my report and let you know, like, what the normies are loving. Because it got a second season, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it got renewed for a second season. So, in case you're wondering, that's what's going on Elsbeth.
I don't know. Has Elsbeth been renewed for season 2?
I think it has.
Yeah. Variety. Elsbeth has scored an early season 2 renewal at CBS.
There you go. And that's based off of the incredible character development and writing, such as, damn, Uno reverse card. Okay, if we're fam now, let me cook. These lines are so
good. Is that a you line or did you copy that?
No, that was another one. I was like, all right, I think Brett's getting bored, so I'm going to skip some of these. But that was a real one.
I'm not getting bored. A little bit. But just like, I couldn't watch something like, I would never watch something like that. Also, like,
not only did I watch one, I watched
24-year-old woman. Just out of grad school, just out of NYU, just out of Yale, just out of Brown, got their MFA in acting, and she's got to be like,
oh,
she's like, I'm playing Viola in 12th Night off Broadway. And it's like, damn, boomer, that's sus.
Can I vape in here?
Damn.
Your math isn't mathing. So that's my
boots on the ground. And real America is watching it, and they're like, my granddaughter who doesn't speak to me is just like that.
That's how she talks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of Shakespeare, I also just wanted to let everyone know, I last night watched Anyone But You, the hit film.
Is that like a 10 Things I Hate About You being based off of Taming of the Shrew?
Exactly. This one's based on Much Ado. The lead characters are Beatrice and Ben.
Oh, it is. It is like a Shakespeare. Ooh.
Oh, who's it's Dogberry? Very Shakespeare. There's a
who's
lot
Dogberry?
Of...
Is there a Dogberry in this movie?
I don't know the names of any of the other people, but they're all accounted for, okay? It's very Shakespeare. It's super cute. I just wanted to let everyone know I saw it because it's a big hit film, you know, further cementing Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell as America's sweethearts. And they are very cute in the movie. They're great. They're great in it. And it's like, listen, it's a rom-com. It's silly, but it's fun. It's fun. It's Shakespeare. It's great. It's set in Sydney. Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
Sydney Sweeney in Sydney, Australia. Yeah, you're not going to watch it, but I'm just saying if anyone else out there needs a little rom-com in their life, I found it very cute. They're very winning.
I don't want to watch hot people hook up.
I love watching hot people hook up. I love it. I send that to you? My review of Anyone But You comes down to this famous tweet. Well, I don't know if it's that famous.
Did you letterboxed it?
Yeah, I did. Here's the tweet. Why must a movie be good? Is it not enough to sit somewhere dark and see a beautiful face huge? That's a question for you.
Sure. Speaking of dark, one of the darkest days in America and movies, got to break some news here on this podcast that was broken yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Danielle, Aaron Sorkin is writing a January 6th movie.
I know this because I sent you the tweet about it. I know. And apparently this is potentially the Social Network sequel. Like, it might be about Facebook because Aaron Sorkin blames Facebook for January 6th.
And can he get Jesse Eisenberg to reprise his role? I mean, I think Social Network, which we discussed like 2 weeks ago on the podcast, because I saw it.
We've discussed since it came out. Every week.
I mean, I saw it when it came out too. Saw it again. That movie is very much like needing of its own sequel of just like, what shit this guy's up to 20 years later. Like how he's ruining the world in a bunch of different ways. And how he's more of an isolated little king little man.
No, people love Zuck now, unfortunately. People have are turning a corner. People are like, oh, he's like us.
People have turned because back towards him just by virtue of him not being Jack Dorsey or Elon Musk.
Yeah, like, exactly. Literally
just do nothing. Like, he's just bent. He's bent on Survivor. He's like,
yeah,
that rocks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If you do nothing long enough, people will love you for it.
So, yeah, he's back doing that thing. And Tom, but you know what? The, like, in a week or a month or a year when Facebook is like, hey, we have this new product. Lets you, like, kill protesters in, like, whatever city you want. And people are going to be like, oh, fuck Zuckerberg. Like
yeah.
I don't think he's, like, done this moral 180 or anything.
No,
this guy only cares about selling people's information for money, selling people's rage for money. Facebook is a horrible blight on this planet. So, like, no, I remember things. I keep the receipts.
Yeah. Receipts, bruh.
So, I know, but to back up to this movie, it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be very, like,
I mean, I hope it. I mean, it will get made. Aaron still got pull.
Sir, I want to be the first to tell you that we got him. We killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh my gosh. I'm ready to watch. I'm ready to support Aaron in all of his endeavors. Yeah. So we will be there and we will talk about it on this podcast. Another thing that I watched that I texted Brett about is a show that everyone, according to the rankings on Netflix, is watching, which is Baby Reindeer. I only watched the first episode of Baby Reindeer because I don't understand how people could watch more of this show. I don't understand. To me, this is and people are like, because this is a show about this guy who's nice to a woman, and so she becomes his stalker, I guess. That I think is just the basic plot line. And then, I don't know, I didn't keep watching it because I had no interest in it. But people are like, oh, it's so good about, like, the cycle of trauma and abuse, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I guess it's the type of show where in the very first episode, I'm like, I would never do this. This would never happen to me. If someone was this creepy. Exactly. But if someone was this creepy to me, I would just not talk to them anymore. And the relationship would be over. But and I guess that makes me like anyone else, right? Because we all think that we'd be like that. I don't know. I think I really would be like that. I just couldn't, not that everything has to be relatable, but like, I couldn't deal with this guy. And I guess this is his true story, but like realizing that this woman was nuts, a stalker, probably going to end badly, and still indulging her. That's what happens in the pilot. I just couldn't deal with that. So I was not a fan.
I was scrolling on Netflix. I saw the poster and I was like, no. And then I saw the summary and I was like, hell no. Like, this, no. I know the thumbnails change like every 7 minutes, and it depends if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're old, if you're young, whatever. Like, there's a whole department of people who make decisions on thumbnails on Netflix. But it was a no for me, dog.
Do you want to go with something else you watched? Because I have another one that I watched.
I haven't watched anything. Okay. I have nothing left to suggest for this episode. So
okay, well,
when you're
do.
Done, this episode is over. But
okay. Okay. So I also, speaking of boomers, like content for boomers, I also watched The Beekeeper starring Jason Statham.
I've heard many things about this movie.
The Beekeeper? So it's, I'm going to spoil it. So if you want to see it, I'm going to spoil it. It's very clearly.
I've had it spoiled to me. So I'm down.
It's very clearly like someone wrote this and was like, Perfect. One day we're going to have John Wick versus the Beekeeper movie. You know, like that's, it's like Alien versus Predator is the idea that they're going for here. Because he's like a John Wick character. It's literally, the script is literally like John Wick. Is it in the
John Wick universe?
No, but it's Jason Statham.
Is it in the Good Wife universe?
I wish. I wish Jason Statham and Elsbeth together. It would be amazing. Jason Statham plays a beekeeper, and the beekeepers are like this, they're not the FBI, they're not the CIA, they're their own like oath of people, the beekeepers. You know, they keep the fabric of society together for some reason. But so he's retired, and he's actually a beekeeper now, and he's got all this honey. Like, he lives on this lady's property, this old lady's property. And the old lady in the very first scene gets scammed out of her life savings by like this data mining company, and they show it's very boiler room. They show like the scammers, and they're like, "We got an old hag on the phone. We're gonna drain her account." And like, it's really well done in that you're like, "Oh my god, don't give them the password, don't give them." And she's like, "Okay, here's my password." But so they scam her out of all of her money, and then she kills herself. And Jason Statham is like, "Oh, she was my only friend, this old woman."
Yeah.
And so Jason Statham's like,
"I'm the bees."
Yeah. Jason Statham's like, "I have to come out of retirement to avenge this boomer and make sure no other boomer." He literally has a monologue that's like, "Boomers are the backbone of our society and no one protects them. But now that's going to change. Like, I'm going to protect the boomers of society." So he like goes on a killing. And then that's the other crazy thing about this movie is that, Jason Statham never kills any of the scammers. He almost exclusively kills the cops who are there just as a side note because they're like, "Oh, we heard this guy's going to bomb this data mining plant." Yeah. And so they show up and he kills them all like brutally. But then the actual scammers inside, he's like, "All right, just tell me some information." Then he lets them go. It's such a weird message. Also, Jason Statham there's like long swaths of this movie that Jason Statham is just not in. Where it's just like these cops having like banter. It's strange. It's very strange.
Now,
Jeremy Irons is in it though. Yes, go ahead.
Now, I heard, to spoil the movie fully,
yeah,
that the data mining evil company,
mm-hmm,
is run by the son of the president in, yes, the film. And the president is like Hillary Clinton, is like very clearly like Hillary Clinton.
She's
and
it's very like, clearly like Hillary like, in that she's a woman.
Okay.
But that's
like
it.
The data mining company and the presidency are very much like Democrat coded, like yes we can coded, and like he's defeating
that
them
my head
too. Okay.
Oh, this that's is just totally what over I've my
heard.
Head.
This is just like what I've heard. I haven't seen it. I'm not gonna. Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'm gonna see
it's
it.
It's like
I thought that was
the son awesome. Who runs the data mining facility is like a tech bro Gen Z. Like basically had the same script as I just read from the Gen Z character. Like, "What's up, fam? I'm gonna unalive him." Like, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, let's get him on the blockchain. Whatever. He's like a crypto evil bro.
Yeah.
Okay. But then he also has Jeremy Irons there. And for it's like such a weird universe where Jeremy Irons knows about the beekeepers. I don't know. The beekeepers are like this thing that, I don't know. It's very strange. I mean, listen, sure. You can watch it. You could watch it if you wanted.
I can. I can watch a lot of things, you know.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. And that's it. That's all I watched this week. I thought I did a good job.
You did great. You did great. You kept this podcast afloat because I've not watched anything. I like forced myself. I wanted to, but I forced myself. Yeah. So you're seeing Civil War tonight?
Yes.
Okay. That review. I'm going to try and see Challengers tomorrow.
Heck yes.
Heck yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Otherwise, yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's we all there was.
We ran through lots of the questions already because they're all Survivor questions. This one's going to be short and sweet then.
Yeah. Thank you all for being here. I mean, there was this question from Philip G. Will this be the official Hey Julie film of the decade? Are you talking about The Beekeeper? Because no.
Yeah.
No, it is not. Clearly the official. If or we no, were to you, name...
Oh, I think this was for the January 6th movie.
Oh, maybe. Then yes. Yes, it is, actually. Any Aaron Sorkin, I was going to say, like, no. Any Davey Finchy Aaron Sorkin movie or Ben Affleck movie would be the movie of the decade.
Sorkin's in this spot now where he doesn't, where he, like, directs his own movies, which has not been great. Not been great
except for
him.
For Molly's
not
Game.
Not been great for us. So, like.
Except for Molly's Game.
Yeah, exactly. Molly's Game, I think, was an awful film. So, no. I'm a little. Yeah, I'm optimistic. People are like very much ready to dunk on this movie. Like on this movie. Listen, it's good to shine a light on number of Americans trying to topple the government.
Totally.
Support a
Sorry,
central
I'm
dictator.
Just, I'm
but
remembering.
Also, like everyone from both sides is like very much ready to dunk on this movie. So like,
oh yeah, it will bring us together. Really.
Maybe Aaron just like write, just join the fucking. Staff of Elsbeth, just like write Elsbeth episodes. We know you're good at TV.
They should do that more often, is have like these big time writers come in and do a special. Remember Sweeps? Remember when they'd have to do stuff like that?
Yeah, didn't like Quentin Tarantino like write and direct an episode of ER
CSI.
Or something like that?
See, wasn't it CSI?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so
we'll see.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you all so much for being here and your comments, questions, being in the chat. We loved it. We had a fun time. It was a party here today. And we'll see you next time. Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.
Spicy Jeff.
Spicy Jeffy.